Seems like you've been doing some great, actually this morning was great here at Living Stones. The first half hour of the worship was like song and scripture and prayer, and it was all pointing towards the light of God and how He's called us out of the darkness and into His marvelous light. Just a wonderful time in the Lord, and a great example of how the Holy Spirit moves through a congregation when there's a chance for the people to speak during that time of worship. So that was just a wonderful time. I really feel like it was a word from the Lord, that the Lord Himself was here. Amen? Yeah, excellent. You've been learning some things these days about the Holy Spirit, both in terms of teaching and experience. And it's a great thing. It's a great thing for a church to really latch on to the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, you've dealt with questions on who is the Holy Spirit. You know, He's our counselor, and He guides us into all truth. And, you know, George did a great job of preaching on that. And you've looked at a number of aspects of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Worship, for example, which is actually a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. When we worship the Lord together, the Holy Spirit is present, and He is made manifest. That is, He who is invisible makes Himself visible through the church as we worship. And like this morning was a great example of that. And there's been prophetic words that have been spoken. And, you know, we just heard about Lindsay going to IHOP, and which isn't the International House of Pancakes. It's the International House of Prayer. Going there and experiencing worship in the Spirit, and then coming back with, you know, enthusiasm in this regard. And so today I'm just going to be continuing, bringing my two cents worth on the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Just a little something I want us to be aware of. And I know that our desire is to move forward in the Spirit. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. Moving forward in the Spirit. So now you know kind of what that sign, actually what I'm going to talk about. Moving forward in the Spirit. I'm going to start out with two facts of life. And basically what this message is I'm just going to lay out two simple facts of life. And the fact that those two facts cause a dilemma in us that could derail us in our life in the Spirit. These two facts of life, if we don't deal with them properly, we can end up being derailed in our walk. We can end up off on a rabbit trail somewhere, or in a pit somewhere, or in a ditch somewhere on our journey. And we don't want that. So I'm going to lay out these two facts of life, take a look at what a good response to them is, and then we'll go from there in terms of application. Fact of life number one, the supernatural is a natural part of life. The supernatural is a natural part of life. For us, definitely, as the people of God. I mean, God is supernatural. How can we embrace God and reject the supernatural? That's impossible. So, for us, the people of God, we just need to come to terms with the fact that the supernatural is a natural part of our life. In fact, the world needs to come to terms with that. People who don't know God have to come to terms with the fact that the supernatural is a natural part of their life. And you know, for most of human history, human beings have understood that. Human beings have understood that, like, there's all the natural things we deal with, and then there's the supernatural things that we deal with. And it was only, you know, fairly recently in human history that there's been one weird generation, which happens to be the one that I belong to, called the modern era, where people actually started thinking there was just no such thing as the supernatural, that the only thing there was the natural. Well, the modern era actually has passed. Believe it or not, whew, that went. And now we're in what's called the postmodern era. And postmodern generation, the younger people, they actually have come back to the idea that the supernatural is a natural part of life. The only trouble is they're not running after the right kind of supernatural things. So it's kind of interesting that it used to be in the modern era, it was only dinosaurs, meaning social dinosaurs, who actually thought there was a supernatural realm, who actually thought there was a God. But now, it's the people who didn't believe in those things. They're the dinosaurs now. And along with the rest of human history, this postmodern generation actually is a spiritual one. They recognize the fact that the supernatural is a natural part of our lives. And as I say, unfortunately, and this is where the church comes in, unfortunately, they're directionless. They're spiritual, but they don't know which way to go. And the church actually holds one of the main keys in terms of helping this generation understand the fact of the supernatural and how to navigate it. The thing is, we have to know how to do it first. And I think the church has actually gotten a little bit funny through the modern era, where we've actually accepted weird ideas about our faith that most of them are just explained away naturally. Nuh-uh. The supernatural is a natural. How many people in here have ever had something supernatural happen to them? Oh, okay, there. Easy to see. Each of us has personal experience with the supernatural in some fashion in our lives. I mean, if we just look back to people's relationships with God on this earth, it becomes very clear. Moses' encounter with God, that's Exodus 3, verses 1 to 5. Exodus 3, verses 1 to 5. And it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire. Even though it was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush." Now, let's sort of get this straight. We have a shepherd. He's tending his sheep. The birds are singing. The sun may be shining. And then he sees a bush that's burning, but it's not burning up like it should. He comes closer to it, and it talks. This is the supernatural. God's real encounter with Moses. God is a supernatural God, and he manifests himself in this natural world in a supernatural way. God is not bound by the natural when he relates to us on this earth. And here's poor Moses there, where God is introducing himself to him. And he's introducing himself in a supernatural way. I know that the Lord introduced himself to me in a supernatural way in my life. And I know that there are many of you here that as you've walked with the Lord, you can cite supernatural encounters with God. You know what? Even if it's a changed heart. Let's not debase the importance of a changed heart. That is supernatural. It doesn't happen naturally speaking. So Moses' encounter with God. Can you imagine the disciples' life with Jesus? You know, like these guys, would they be thinking, oh, well, I don't even know if there's such a thing as a supernatural? These guys walked for 3 years. If you're writing notes, read Mark chapters 4 and 5. It's like the first thing is, you know, they're in a boat. Jesus is sleeping. This big storm comes up. The boat's ready to go down. They're like, wake up, wake up. We're going down. Don't you care? Jesus gets up and goes, shh, to the wind and the waves. And they stop. And it's calm on the seas. And the wind stops blowing. And these guys are freaked out. That was something supernatural. They were fishermen. They knew this lake. They knew how things go. You die in storms like this. And the Lord, with a word, told the thing to stop, and it did. And they're saying, who is this? And then when they get to the other side, there's a demon-possessed guy running at them who's got lots of demons in him, And these demons go into the pigs, and the pigs all run over the edge into the water, and they all drown. Like, we're talking supernatural. These guys couldn't get away from it. Their life was surrounded by the supernatural. Right after Jesus knocks the demons out of this guy, and he's sitting there in his right mind, and the people from the village come. And you know what they were scared of? They weren't scared that that guy was, you know, running around cutting himself in the tombs. They were used to that. They were scared because he was in his right mind now. They were afraid because Jesus had done something supernatural. And they told Jesus, like, please leave, because they were scared of this guy in his right mind. Who does these kinds of things? There was the supernatural again. They go to the other side of the lake. Jesus is walking along. A woman who's been sick for 12 years, bleeding for 12 years, touches the edge of his garment, and she's healed immediately. All the disciples witness that. And the thing is, Jesus is on his way to raise a dead girl to life while this healing happens. So then after the healing happens, he goes and he raises a 12-year-old girl from the dead. Supernatural. If we're going to hang out with the Lord, that's what our life is like. The supernatural is a natural part of our life. Peter's vision. This is in Acts 10 already. Acts 10 verses 9 to 11. I'll read those. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. So far, so good. Doesn't seem like it's very supernatural. Went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry. That's pretty natural. And wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. That starts to sound a little bit not natural. It starts to sound a little bit supernatural. Yes, folks, the word trance is in the Bible. And we have Peter, the human leader of the church, falling into a trance. What happens when he's in this trance? He saw heaven open, so he got a vision. And something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. And most of you know the rest of the story. You know, the Lord basically prepares him for a visit that's coming. This visit is a bunch of people who've been sent by a man named Cornelius. So here's Peter getting this, in a trance, getting a vision. And the Lord is basically saying, you know what? Some people who you consider to be unclean are coming to visit with you. Don't call them unclean. I got some plans for them. These guys are coming along because this guy named Cornelius, who doesn't even know about Jesus, he gets a vision of an angel. And the angel says, go to such and such an address and get the guy, this guy named Peter. He's got something to say to you. So these guys are sent from Cornelius. Peter's already ready to say, okay, I accept the invitation. These guys come, he accepts the invitation, he goes into it's a Gentile's house, he's not even allowed to do that as a Jew. He goes in there, begins to preach the gospel, because Cornelius has the whole neighborhood, you know, in his house, ready to hear what Peter has to say. He starts to preach the gospel, he's not even finished his message, he's not even, you know, starting the invitation to salvation, or praying the prayer, or anything. The Holy Spirit comes on everybody, and they're all in the Spirit praising God. And Peter goes, well, okay, let's baptize them. So he baptizes, they baptize everybody. That is the life that we've got as followers of Jesus. It's actually a wonderful life, the supernatural. It's a whole part of life that, unfortunately, the modern age, they just didn't have anything to do with. You know, all these people thinking there's no such thing as a supernatural, living half a life. Well, less than half a life. There's so much more. And we as the people of God, we know better, right? Amen. And our Sunday, just like today, in the life of John, Revelation chapter 1. On the Lord's day, starting at verse 10, on the Lord's day I was in the Spirit. Well, there we go. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, etc., etc. You know, he saw the Lord Jesus, you know, the seven golden lampstands. So he's seeing a vision of the Lord Jesus, very shiny, hair white like wool, and eyes like blazing fire. And seven stars out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. And it says his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Now, we've had the falling down thing, you know, in church. John fell down. He fell down as though dead because he encountered the living God. It's supernatural. It's not the weirdest thing in the world. I mean, if someone's just falling down for fun, well, that's a little weird. But in the presence of the living God, John fell down like a dead man. Jesus put his hand on him and said, "It's okay, it's me." Daniel, when Daniel got a vision of the living God, he was in bed for like 3 days after that because it was such an impacting experience on him, on his body, on his emotions, on his nerves or whatever. So an encounter with the living God, I mean, I don't know, I would never suggest this, but you know, if you've ever accidentally stuck your finger in an outlet, or a fork or something like that, which you would never, ever do, if that's ever happened, you get a reaction. George telling his story in Greece about, you know, because in Greece, the power isn't 110, it's 220. So, you know, George, when you stick your finger in something powerful, then, you know, you haven't got a whole lot of control necessarily. And you know what? Maybe you've seen that in church. It's weird if someone's just doing that for kicks. But if someone is having an encounter with the living God, it's not the weirdest thing. Amen? So that's John Sunday. Yeah, it's something that you don't see all the time. That's fact of life number one. Is that one clear? I've moved away from it. What was that fact of life? The supernatural is a natural part of life. Why don't we say that all? The supernatural is a natural part of life. Amen. Fact of life number two. It's not all good. It's not all good. See, this is a problem. You see, the supernatural isn't just one realm. And this is where our world has really gone wrong and they're headed in a bad direction. They think the spirit world is just something to dance around in with flowers in your hair at sunrise or you know, whatever. That's not a good idea to think that it's all good. Because Jesus himself, he came to destroy the devil's work. There's work, there's supernatural work that's being done that we are to have nothing to do with, that we're against, we're in opposition to. There's not one kingdom, there's two. There's the dominion of darkness, which we want nothing to do with, and there's the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son whom the Father loves. So, you know what? It's pretty straightforward, some of that easy to see supernatural bad stuff. I mean, I'm sure we've all had some measure of experience with that in some fashion. It's something bad, and it's something we would want to stay away from, and it's really clear. But then there's something else, and that is, it has to do with who Satan is. Satan's a counterfeiter, and this is where it gets a little more dangerous. This is where it gets a little more important for the people of God to watch out and to understand that it's wonderful. And the supernatural realm is wonderful. It's created by God, and it's a big part of our life. It's a natural part of our life. But it's not all good because Satan is a counterfeiter. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. That if he can't get us by intimidating us, he can try to get us by having us think that it's the Lord, or having us think that it's a good thing to be moving into. So he counterfeits himself. The only thing is, this is the thing about a counterfeit, if you look at it closely, you can tell it's not real. So it's not 100% foolproof. It's not like we have no idea what to do. The Lord has actually equipped us to deal with this fact that Satan's a counterfeiter. And there's no shortage of false Christs and false prophets. In Matthew 24, verse 24, Jesus says, "For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles," supernatural things, "and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect if that were possible." So we can't have the theology that, oh well, if it's supernatural, it's the Lord. We can't do that because there's a whole area of the supernatural that's not the Lord. And not only that, it's the enemy pretending that he's doing the Lord's things. So we have to watch out. Life in the Spirit is full of rabbit trails, traps, and pitfalls. So now we're faced with two facts of life. Number one, the supernatural is a natural part of life. And number two, it's not all good. What do we do? See, we could go into error right at that point. As soon as we realize those two things, that the supernatural is something it's part of our life, but it's not all good. We can end up having problems with that. Like, what should we do? One thing we can't do is we can't run headlong. Ooh, something spiritual is happening over there. Ooh, I'm going to go right into it. Woo! You know, cannonball. We got to watch out. Why? Because it might not be the Lord. It might be a pitfall. It might be a rabbit trail. It might be a trap. So we can't just run headlong into things without any judgment. And in Proverbs 19:2, it says this, "It's not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way." That's a good one to remember. Zeal without knowledge. It's like, woo, I'm an on fire Christian. But without the knowledge that goes with that zeal, there could be trouble. So we have to watch out. So we can't just, like, here we are faced with these two facts. The supernatural, wow, this is a big part of my life. Yeah, oh, it's not all good. What do I do? Oh, well, forget about the not all good part. Woo, just jump right in. Don't do that. That's not safe. And then there's the other side of it. We can't shrink back. We need the supernatural. It's a big part of our life. It's an important part of our life. So we can't run headlong into it, and we can't shrink back. And, you know, Lindsay read a verse that's kind of like this, about a desire for the Lord. I just picked another one. "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God?" That's in our hearts. We're built that way. And God is supernatural. So if we want God, we're going to get the supernatural. See, the two kinds of errors you can run into. If you run headlong into this with no discernment, if you run headlong into it, well, error is waiting for you. Flaky stuff, crazy stuff. Stuff that, you know, like I say, it's, you know, falling down for its own sake, or, you know, getting all electrical for its own sake and everything. It's not good. It's not the Lord's work. And then if we shrink back and say, okay, well, this is dangerous, so I'm never doing anything supernatural. I'm never going to relate to the supernatural. My God will just understand that. And he'll just deal with me in the natural. Nuh-uh. What we end up with is an error that's pretty well as bad as the flaky world out there. That this error, where you just shrink back from everything supernatural, is you pretty well empty out our faith. And we have a form of godliness, but denying its power. And what you end up with is not God. What you end up with often when you're running without any discernment or knowledge is not God. And what you end up with And what you end up with, if you shrink back and say, well, there's nothing, I'm not going to relate with the supernatural at all, well, you end up with not God as well. You end up with, you know, there was a group of people biblically that were like that. They were called the Sadducees. The Sadducees had factored the supernatural so far out of the faith, they didn't even believe in the resurrection of the dead or anything like that. They were your basic old-time liberal theologians, where they had just factored all the being, the core, right out of the faith. And we don't want to do that, do we? We have to come to terms with the fact that our God is supernatural, so will our faith be, and so will our life be. So here we are, kind of stuck. It's like, supernatural, ooh, it's dangerous, ooh, better shrink. No, supernatural, I need God, oh, dangerous. So we don't want to be caught. We don't want to run into these wrong things, running headlong or shrinking back. So what do we do? Praise the Lord, I've got another slide for my PowerPoint that hopefully has an answer to this question. That's right. Yes. Our response is proceed with caution. Proceed. Go forward. Move forward in your life in the Spirit. Don't be afraid of that which is supernatural, but be cautious. Proceed. You see how those people are proceeding? With caution, right? You know, that's right. Well, if you look at it long enough, they might move. But see, I thought of Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, the first one. You know, that thing, that gold thing that he's after in that temple, and there's all these crazy traps and everything, and he sees it. It's like right there. And, you know, the other guy is like, oh, let's go get it. You know, we don't want to be like that. You know, he goes, wait. And then he kind of does this. You know, he's looking at the ground, and he kind of does this. He's proceeding, because there's treasure there, with caution. Okay, he's like, you know, proceeding with caution. That's what we need to do. We need to watch where we're stepping, but we need to step. We can't just go, ah, I'm afraid, help. Like, that doesn't get us the treasure. We need to proceed, but we need to be cautious. Amen? The Lord has provided us with something here. It's called discernment. And get this, it's actually a spiritual gift. Discernment itself is supernatural. It's called the gift of discerning of spirits. That is this good or bad? This spiritual or this supernatural thing that that's in front of me, or that you know I'm walking in, or whatever, or I'm seeing happening here or over there. Is it good or is it bad? Is it the Lord or is it not? The Greek word for discernment is diakrisis. Diakrisis. Well, I pronounced the D too hard. Diakrisis. George helps me all week with these things. Diakrisis. And what that means is to investigate, to sift, or to sort out something with a view to determining the truth about it. That is, there's a bunch of evidence that we need to look at to find out if it's okay to step into that. The Lord knows our dilemma. He knows that it can be scary because it's an unknown thing and it's the supernatural. But He helps us proceed with caution. He gives us equipping spiritually to discern what's going on. We need to access that, though. That's extremely important. So I've got four, tips or hints, handy hints to how we can move forward in the Spirit with discernment, how we can welcome the Holy Spirit, how we can embrace the supernatural in our life in a way that is safe, in a way that honors the Lord, and that is with discernment. So one thing is stick to Jesus. Stick to Jesus. I picked this visual because we're like that little kid. We need to stay with the Lord Jesus. Let Him explain life to us. Let him explain, you know, son or daughter, this is poison. Don't eat this. This is bad. Or, look, this one's good. This one's good. We need to stick to Jesus. And you know what? That's not a one-off thing. That's a lifetime, step-by-step thing that we need to stick to our Lord Jesus. In John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So if we're looking for the way, you know, we want to move forward. If we're looking for the way, well, Jesus helps us. He shows us the way because he is the way. Amen? James 4, 7, it says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If we live like that, sticking close to Jesus, when it comes a time for us to discern something supernatural, we already have a defense system built right in. If we're living a life in submission to God, we are resisting the devil, and he is fleeing from us. So when he puts one of his counterfeits in front of us, it becomes easy to see. When the devil starts to call to us, hey, I'm the good one here, I'm your shepherd. If we've been walking with Jesus, we'll know that that's not the shepherd's voice. We won't have a lot of trouble. And we'll run from that voice and run and listen and follow the voice of the master. Follow the voice of our shepherd. So I'm hoping you're getting it, that a big part of discernment, they're not one-offs. They are a life led in Christ. And then we don't have a whole lot to be afraid of. We don't have a whole lot to worry about in that, in moving forward in the Spirit. So stick to Jesus. That's a big one. And here's another one. Keep an eye on the Word. As you have an eye on what's going on supernaturally and spiritually, keep an eye on the Word. Because it's through the Word of God that we can diakrisis. We can discern what is right and what is not. What is the Lord and what is not. I mean, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, okay, let me start at the beginning. If somebody is having a supernatural experience and they say, Jesus be cursed, it's probably not the Lord. And if someone is saying, Jesus is Lord, and it's moving them towards the Lord Jesus, then probably that's the Lord. That's sort of starting with the basics. And it looked like he had to start with the basics in Corinth because they were into whatever with no discernment. So he was trying to help them with that. We need to keep an eye on the Word. And I can tell you, folks, I am so thankful to be part of this church. I am so thankful that I can come to Living Stones. I can come to Firelight. And even during the worship time, we're hearing the Word of God. In the songs, we're hearing the Word of God. Because I can tell you, folks, we're in a generation that is, slowly or quickly, putting down, closing up the Word of God and going after whatever experience they can get. And I'm a musician. I know that music can pretty well do anything to somebody. You can think it's a religious experience. Because of the mood you create, because of the tempo that you use, because of the inflection and the dynamics and the voice and everything. That's all marketing. That's not the music we play in the church. We're not looking for those kinds of experiences. I don't mean that we play all wooden, you know, just so that we avoid any kind of emotional response. No, not at all. No. You know, we don't do that. But what we do is we respond out of our love for the Lord. And that way, the emotions follow quite nicely. Keep an eye on the Word. Jesus did. When the enemy came to him in the desert, did he have a theological discussion with him? No. In fact, the enemy pulled Scripture on him. That's how much of a counterfeiter he is. He took Scripture, twisted it, and threw it at Jesus. And you know what Jesus did? He threw Scripture back at him that pointed out the false twisting that was used. You know, it's important to have those kind of weapons. It's important to have those. And I can tell you, we live in it. We live in a crazy society. Spiritual warfare here is just as much, although it takes different forms, than anywhere else in the world. And here in the world, we've got Bibles coming out of our ears. You can go and get a Bible almost, you could go to a superstore and get a Bible. Plus all the Christian stores, you can get it in all kinds of languages, you can get it in all kinds of colors. The Bible for men, the Bible for women, the Bible for young people, the Bible for hunters, the Bible for fishermen. The Bible for practically anything to try to get people to read the thing. Oh, I'm a fisherman. Well, maybe I'll read it now. No, the Word of God is so important for our whole life. It's important to keep an eye on the Word. If you want to live the godly life, a life that includes the supernatural, don't neglect the Word. That's just crazy to do that. Psalm 119, 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Amen? Okay, here comes number three, handy hint. And that is, check the fruit. This isn't my idea, but it's a really good idea. It's Jesus' idea. And this comes from Matthew 12:33 and various other places, directly or indirectly, where Jesus basically said, you recognize a tree by its fruit. So if it's this kind of tree, it'll produce this kind of fruit. Let's say it's a bad tree. It produces bad fruit. If it's a good tree, it produces good fruit. If you just look at the tree, you can't really tell necessarily all the time. But you will be able to tell from the fruit. If you look at what that tree produces, then you can get a good handle on whether it's coming out of the badness of something, bad fruit, or whether it's coming out of the goodness of something, good fruit. You know, and I'll tell you, there's a real need for discernment because we got the internet. And with the internet, it lets you know what's happening in the church all over the world. And sometimes it's something wonderful and genuine, and we can cheer them on and say, Lord, please do that here. And sometimes it ain't all good. You know, I'll just pick one, the Lakeland Revival. The Lakeland Revival started in April of 2008. That's Florida, right? Lakeland, Florida. April of 2008. It started out to be just kind of a refreshment time or whatever, and it stretched out April, May, June, July, about 4 months worth. And all kinds of things were happening. What they did is they put their services on the internet so anybody could take a look at what was going on. They had a big name in there, Todd Bentley. He went in there, and the Lakeland Revival was happening and happening. And it was tough. There was a lot of debate. Is this good? Todd Bentley was saying and doing some weird things. Someone lost a tooth. He was praying for them. Because he was praying hard for them sometimes. So I was like, well, that's a little controversial, but people are talking about healings and everything. Is this the Lord? Is this not the Lord? Wow, what a great time for discernment. Pretty hard to tell right off the bat. You just got to look at the fruit. And, you know, I've got no judgment for the Lakeland Revival. Probably lots of people were revived by the Lord as a result of that particular phenomenon. But Todd Bentley? In August, it was announced that he was leaving. It was April, May, June, July, August, that he was leaving that particular revival. In the same month, it came out that he and his wife had separated. And then right after that, it came out that he was in an inappropriate relationship with another woman. And then after that, there was a group, he resigned from the board of directors of Fresh Fire. Then after that, a group of people who were kind of in charge of him and his ministry, they came in there to try to help work out his life and his marriage and his family. And then in November of that year, August, September, October, November, that group of people announced that Todd Bentley wasn't cooperating with the process. And then in March of the next year, he was married to another woman. And he's been instituted back into leadership in Fresh Fire Ministries. So, I mean, I'm not saying that to slog anybody. What I am saying, though, is that out of this Lakeland Revival, where probably lots of people were revived by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Looking at the fruit, it would be hard to say that Todd Bentley was when it was all said and done, because there was some bad fruit that came out of it. It doesn't necessarily help us judge the whole event. I think that would be preposterous to try to generalize about it all. But a lot of times there's mixtures of things in these things. And discernment is important. And that's sort of a sobering example. Last one, stay together. As you are moving forward in the Spirit, stay together. And you got that the elephants in a circle there protecting their little ones, looking way more ominous against this hedgehog thing, warthog. Looking more ominous than ever because there's more than one of them. And they're protecting their weak. It's really important that if we intend to live the life that God intended us to live, a life that includes the supernatural, we've got to stay together. It's just smart. Don't we want to be smart? Hey, this is happening. What do you think? Or what's your thought on this? I have this. I think it's a prophetic word, but I'm not sure. What do you think? Staying together is just smart. If you are isolated and disconnected as a Christian, then, well, I mean, the verse that I have with this, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Peter is giving that to a church and saying, like, the image here is the enemy prowling around, and everybody knows that lions pick the ones that are disconnected from the group, the ones who are limping along, the ones who are, you know, falling behind, the ones who are not in the herd, so to speak. Those are the ones they go for. And it's the same in the church. The enemy, in his counterfeit way, reaches to people who are disconnected, isolated, people who are just kind of out on a limb there. So staying together is actually like being the church. That's why, you know what, this place is so wonderful, because it's a place of safety. It's a place where we can seek the Lord together. You guys know George. I mean, George sometimes does some funny things too. You know, sometimes he does that. But I know George. And I've known him for years, and you know him too. I mean, he's not doing this just for fun. He's feeling the Lord. He's feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of his life is evidence of that. You've got a solid pastor here. You've got spiritual family here. You know the people who are praying for you, for the most part. You know how their life is. You know where their sincerity is and everything. That's a good place to move forward in the Spirit together. Amen? Okay, just finishing up. Moving forward in the Spirit. Okay, what's fact of life number one? Two facts of life. The supernatural is a natural part of life. What's fact number two? It's not all good. And that creates a dilemma for us. So what's our response? Proceed with caution. Don't shrink back. Don't run headlong into it. Proceed with caution. Use discernment. Diakrisis. Use discernment. Okay, so how to move forward with discernment? What was the first thing I said? Stick to Jesus, right? Stick to Jesus. Excellent. And the second thing was, keep an eye on the Word, because the Word of God is so important in discernment, in supernatural things. What was the third thing? Check the fruit. A tree is recognized by its fruit. And finally, stay together, which is exactly what you're doing. There we were at 10 o'clock this morning, entering into the supernatural realm because we were in the presence of our God. And entering in together. Wonderful. And there's George. George's, you know, you might think, like, who's in charge? Like, what's going on? There's George is leading the service. and he is listening to everything that's being said, everything that's being shared. And there it is. It's and moving with it, stoking it, saying, yeah, this is the Lord. I believe it's the Lord. So we got safety here. Whoever's leading the service is providing that safety of kind of overseeing the meeting and making sure nothing like particularly weird ends up coming out. Although, you know, I'm just looking around. We all know each other. So, you know, maybe we're just weird. Maybe we're just like that. So, but we know, though. At least we know. So it's a good environment to move forward in the Spirit together. Boy, we moved forward in the Spirit this morning. If we had eyes to see and ears to hear, I was like listening really hard and you know, trying to catch what the Lord was saying. And you know what? He was saying something. It was all a theme. It was beautiful. And it didn't come from us. It came supernaturally from God through the people of God to edify us, to build us up. And you know that's going to bear good fruit. I'm walking out of here this morning with, wow, there's some really cool stuff that I picked up this morning. So, and hopefully that's your case as well. I'm going to hand it back over to you, George, now, because I'm done. Thanks, brother.